Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, thank you for tuning in with us for our journey on Draw the Circle. Today is our conclusion of that five-week series. We're going to unpack our Old Testament reading that Elaine just read from Joshua chapter 4. The moment those stones were picked up, what significance did those have for God's people? What significance do they have for how we live in our lives today? Dear friends, Bill Irwin was not the first person to make it all the way to the very end of the Appalachian Trail. Bill Irwin was not the first person to make that journey, a 2,100-mile journey that included really bad weather, rain, snow, great heat, also elements that were very difficult, tough terrain, and loneliness. Many people have actually traveled on the Appalachian Trail, experiencing all those struggles. But Bill Irwin's journey was unique in this way. He's the only person to do this, to travel on that trail, 2,100 miles, completely blind. How did he do it? Well, he was 50 years old when he did it. And this happened back in 1990. He was someone who had just come out of a bout with recovery from alcoholism, and he was a committed Christian. But what really helped him was holding on to a Bible passage. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And on that journey with them, there were really just three items. And there was a couple friends that came in, I understand from his writings, 10 miles here and 10 miles there. But on his journey, there were really only three items with him. Himself, his German shepherd dog to guide him, and also the rugged terrain right in front of him. Irwin estimated that he had fallen 5,000 times on that journey over 8 months. Now, when you sparse that out, that amounts to about 20 falls per day for 8 months. He did it. Experiencing hypothermia, experiencing loneliness, experiencing all sorts of difficulty, all sorts of elements that came his way, but he made it. He did it. Now, you, my friends, today tuning in, are actually going on a similar journey when you pray. What I mean by that is that I'm not saying that you're going on a road with dirt and rock and soil, not that. But when you offer a prayer, you're going on a long journey. When you offer a prayer, you're starting out at point A, and by the time that that prayer is answered, you're all the way at point B. And the distance between point A, when your prayer is offered, and point B, when your prayer is answered, is sometimes, my friends, a long, long distance. And as we walk that journey between offered prayer and answered prayer, we hold on to those words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now think about a prayer that you have offered. Maybe right now or maybe in the past. A prayer that you have offered. I think about the time that my wife and I, Alicia, found out that we would become parents. We offered prayers in that moment for baby and for child, and then we had to wait for 6 months. That was a long journey, a lot of ups and downs and downs and ups, and a lot of questions that were asked. Would mom be okay? Would baby be okay? Would dad be okay? Would we be ready? You are offering prayer. I don't know what it is, but this morning as you tune in, there's something that you're thinking about. There's something that you want to pray for. It could be a health diagnosis. You've gotten the diagnosis. The prayer has not been answered. You're on the journey. You perhaps are going through some challenge with your work or economic hardship, some troubled news at work. You've offered the prayer, but you're waiting for the answer. Now, my friends, I think actually this is the reason why a lot of people don't pray. It's walking blindly, and it's a long journey. Not very many people like to do that. Think about the times that you take journeys and you go off. Isn't it true that you really do want to know what point B looks like? You want a clear picture of where you are headed. For example, when you go on a vacation, you want to know the kind of hotel that you'll be staying in. So you read the reviews, and you find out that some of those reviews aren't so good, so you move on to the next hotel. You read some more reviews, and you move on to the next one. You read those reviews, and finally you come to the determination that that's the one that you're going to go to. Then you read on, and you find out some restaurants that are around that hotel, and you memorize the menu, and you even anticipate what you're going to order. See, what we do today is we want a clear picture of where we're headed. We want to take away all the surprise, and we want to know everything. That, my friends, is absolutely not prayer. Abraham, when he prayed, had no idea where he was going. Moses, when he was taking the Israelites into the Promised Land, had, again, no idea. Mary, when she found out that she would be the mother of Jesus, had no idea of the journey that would be ahead for her. That's the way prayer works. You say things like this: Lord, I don't know what is in store in my life, but hold my hand. And we say such things as this: Lord, I don't know about the situations that we're in, and I don't know the outcomes, but let it be enough that you are by my side. That's why a lot of people don't pray. They want a clear picture. Prayer is a blind walk on a long journey. Now, we may not know what point B looks like, but the good news, my friends, today is that we do have clues and signs that God is with us. Now, when God led the Israelites all the way from Egypt up to the Promised Land, he gave them sure signs and clues. Think about what some of those signs and clues were on the journey, because those signs and clues gave them great confidence for moving forward. They knew that God was with them. One of those signs and clues was a pillar and a cloud. The Israelites knew God was right there. One of those signs was the physical object of tablets. They kept those tablets. It was housed in the tabernacle. They carried them in the ark. They were right there. They knew that God had been with them and had that conversation with Moses. There was a rod and a staff, and by that rod and staff, Moses talked to Pharaoh and performed miracles. They held on to that rod and staff. It was located in the tabernacle. More signs and clues in today's passage from Joshua chapter 4. The Israelites, when they go down into the Jordan River, a member from each of the tribes of Israel goes down and takes a rock and goes to the other side and places those 12 rocks at a place called Gilgal. It was a memorial. Again, it was a clue and sign that God had been with them, and it gave them confidence moving to point B, moving into the future to a place that they had no idea where they were going. Bill Irwin actually wanted to give up. He was at mile marker 1900 of 2100, almost there, 200 miles away in the southern part of Maine. It was a moment in which he wanted to just throw in the towel and give up. He writes about it in his book about his journey. On that particular day, he wasn't feeling good. He wasn't feeling like he could make it about the 10 plus days to finish off his long journey. And he really had a bad attitude. And he moved forward on his hike and came to a place where there was a confluence of three rivers. The rain and the snow from the winter and the rain from the spring caused those rivers to swell up. And they became great. And at the point that that Bill reached those rivers, it was about 30 feet in width, and it branched out in three separate tributaries, three rivers. Bill crossed the first one, got to the second one, and as he was fording it across, the German Shepherd dog going out in front of him, off to the other side, he lost his footing. He slipped and fell, and was brought down into the waters and was scrambling as this stream was taking him down further and further by rocks along the way as he gasped for air and oxygen to just stay alive going down. And the good news is he caught himself and he stood up and he was okay. But you can you imagine how terrifying that would be to be blind underwater in a place where you have no idea where you are? But then it got worse. Hypothermia set in. He ran out of food. The food was spoiled. And it was at that point, on that long journey, that Bill Irwin prayed. And in that prayer, he says that later on that night, a warmth came upon him. I don't know what, he didn't know what that was, but you see, that gave him the energy to move forward. He knew that God had given him a sign. God had been by his side to move forward to point B, to a place that he had no idea where he was going. Now, you are praying right now. Again, some of those things I listed earlier, a health diagnosis, maybe it's a friend that you've been intercessing for a very long time. Maybe it's a broken relationship that you're in and struggling with how this could end up. Maybe you're at that point that Bill was in where you just want to give up and throw in the towel. Maybe it's just everything that's going on right now. Here's today's good news. What signs or clues is God showing you that he's by your side? You're not at point B. You're not at your destination. The prayer hasn't been answered, but what are the signs and clues right in front of you? You know, last week at Peace, we offered a drive-by communion service, and many of our members came. It was great to see so many smiling faces here, and we look forward to those days when we can share more opportunities to share Holy Communion together. One person called me later after that experience and said when they received Holy Communion, it was as if a warmth came inside of them. They expressed that they felt that they didn't understand all the things that were happening in their life, but there was a clue, there was a sign that God was right by their side. A clue or sign could be just a simple promise from God. You see, a promise from God is as solid as one of those rocks on the bottom of the Jordan River, because God promises that he will never leave or forsake us. And holding on to that promise is a clue that God will continue to guide us on our journey ahead. We may not know what point B is, but we can know right now that God is with us. Those 12 stones were placed in a very important place, a place called in the Bible Gilgal. Now, we don't know if that was a city. What we think that was just simply a base camp, a place where the Israelites could go and really establish themselves before heading into the Promised Land. Really a place to, let's say, a place to set up basic religious practices that would see them through in the time ahead. Isn't that what prayer for us is? It's our Gilgal. We want a mountaintop experience. We want a miracle. We want things to go our way. But the most important thing that we can do right now is to make sure that we're established and we have a firm foundation. Prayer does that. My friends, this is the conclusion of our series, Draw the Circle. What day was it that was the most special for you? Was it day 1 or day 10 or was it day 40? Well, there's a clear answer. The most important day on the journey is actually day 41. Our prayer is that you continue your prayer journey. Continue to hold on to that strong foundation, your Gilgal, knowing that in prayer we receive that strong statement that God is with us, and it's our strong foundation, even though we're not at point B, and those prayers are not answered. May it be so. Amen.